It is a particularly moving moment for me because I'm standing here as a proxy for a most remarkable man whom I never met personally. He was originally announced on our brochure to speak on the subject of his book, Talks with the Dead, and to tell us of his pioneering research in the tape recording of some 27,000 spirit voices. I corresponded with Bill Welch and had phone conversations with him in his home in Encino, California, where he was engaged in writing for TV and pictures. He told me he was preparing a tape containing some of the most significant spirit voices for a presentation at the workshop. During the last phone contact I had with him, he mentioned almost casually that he had just come from the hospital where he had undergone an operation for cancer of the lymph glands. There was nothing in his voice or manner to indicate that Bill Welch was still in serious shape. You can well imagine my shock when a few weeks later I received a phone call from a man who introduced himself as Whitey Greenblatt, a research associate of Bill's, calling for the purpose of telling me Bill passed on 2 days ago, February 2nd. He was in a coma the last week. But I'd like you to know, Mr. Sherman, the one thing he had in his mind at the last was the hope that God would let him live long enough to appear on the workshop platform with you and make a final presentation of his work with the spirit voices. He said he had no fear of death, that communication with the spirit entities, especially some of his departed friends and loved ones, had prepared him for the life to come, and if he had to go soon, he was eager to join them and enter upon the new experience awaiting him. Bill also said, continued his associate, Whitey Greenblatt, that as soon as he got adjusted to life in the next dimension, he hoped to establish better and clearer communication between the two worlds, and if possible, put his voice on tape with a greeting to Harold Sherman and everyone attending the workshop. As Whitey Greenblatt was talking, the thought occurred to me that we could arrange a William Adams Welch memorial presentation of the spirit voice tape phenomena, which he had prepared as a tribute to him and his pioneering work in this new communication field. I proposed it to Whitey, asking him if he thought that Bill's wife would approve. Whitey instantly said, "I think Bill would be greatly pleased to have something like this done, and that Kitty Welch would be honored. I'll ask her about it and report back to you." Consent was immediately given, and both Kitty Welch and Whitey Greenblatt accepted my invitation to come to the workshop and help in the memorial presentation. In a wonderful letter Kitty Welch wrote me, she said, "I'll be delighted to be with you at the workshop. However, I can in no way shed the brilliance of Bill's experiments as he would. As you know, he had such an inquisitive mind, beautifully controlled, a truly exceptional man, who has loved me dearly since he was 16 years old. I was almost proud of his accomplishments and grateful for his devotion to me and those whose lives our paths crossed. I am a true believer in the voice phenomena. I am not a speaker. I always stayed in the background, but was always there with Bill. And I'll be glad to do everything I can for you in Bill's name. It is so good of you to want to promote the work Bill held so dear to his heart. And believe me, it meant more hours than I care to remember of infinite patience on his part. Many hours out of our lives together. May God bless you and the work which is so important to mankind. It may interest you to know that Bill and I, says Kitty, will have been married for 42 years on June 25th, the opening day of your workshop. Well, Bill's wonderful wife, Kitty, is here with us today. And so is his research associate, Whitey Greenblatt. And you will meet them in a few minutes as a part of this memorial presentation. But first, I should explain to some of you who may not be so familiar just what the tape recording of Spirit Voices is. And I can't do it any better than to play for you a tape that Bill Welch made for the workshop, so you can hear him tell about it in his own voice. The next voice you hear will be that of Bill Welch.
What you are about to hear are voices recorded by me sitting either alone with my wife, Kitty, or with others over a period of a little more than 2 years, beginning in April of 1972. The voices are here repeated 3 times for clarity. It must be emphasized, of course, that they are not received this way. I am only repeating them 3 times to make it easier for the first-time listener to understand what he is hearing. The first voice is particularly appropriate for the beginning of this tape, since it says, "Hello." The next voice says, "Welcome," which is not nearly as significant as the fact that a click is clearly audible before the voice is heard. This and similar sounds, such as raps and the blowing of a breath, frequently precede a voice, as though the speaker had been given a cue as to when to begin. Listen closely. Since the next voice says a sentence, it is better to listen first to see if you can understand its meaning. The voice said, "Let's play the game." Here it is again. The next voice is not a voice at all. Rather, it is an imitation of a passing steam locomotive. This was apparently done in a spirit of fun, but with meaning, since I had once built model engines as a hobby. Here's the imitation. An exuberant voice directed at my wife, Kitty, says, "I love Kitty." The following raps were obtained during a sitting with a survival study group. During the sitting, there were intermittent dog barks from outside, and accordingly, the members of the group were all being careful to note any natural sounds that would later appear in the tape. No one heard these sounds until the tape was played back. This voice is clear, but partially obscured by what sounds like feedback squeal. It says, for no reason I can think of, we're doing Roberts. Here are messages for our two daughters. The first says, Wendy, tell her I love her. The second says, hello, Heather. A man identifies himself on tape as Schwepp, although we cannot identify him. You have to listen carefully under the background noise to hear this voice, but it's well worth it. A child says plaintively, touch me. A voice almost certainly belonging to one of the technicians who work on these tapes from the other side, says in response to a message we received, how'd you like that one? Here is another voice which belongs, we believe, to a technician on the other side. He is saying in exuberant tones, hip hooray, Harrington's here. A young lady gives her name as Marianne, but note there is also a cue before the voice. This time it is a short breath. Attila von Zelay, who prefers to be called Art, visited me one night, and we did some taping. We got this voice calling his name. A great number of voices that I get have come in German, although I do not speak or understand the language. An outstanding example is this next voice, which says Weisserein, and it means, so I'm told, know that I am here. One of our regular correspondents from the other side is Harry. Harry is the father, deceased, of Pearl Brown, who sits with us once a week. Here, he merely registers his name. Although it seems a vast distance away, the next voice says, "I'm near you." A voice I assume to be my wife's mother finds another way to say substantially the same thing. She says, "I'm with you, Kitty." Over 40 years ago, there was a triple threat All-American football player for Army called Chris Red Cagle. We hear unexpectedly from him now. The first part of his statement is not clear, but his name, I think, is quite clear. He says, "Used to be Chris Cagle." I should mention that Chris Cagle died sometime around World War II. Nevertheless, we hear from him fairly regularly. Here is his voice saying the single word, "Chris." My mother had a sister named Jessie, and my Aunt Jessie was married to a man named Chester. Both of them died many years ago. Nevertheless, we hear frequently from voices purporting to be Jessie and Chester. On this occasion, a voice started to speak and then broke up into static. This was followed by a voice which said, "Jesse goofed that time. Chester." Here is a most encouraging message. It says, "We are with you. You've won." We hear from a man named Gustav, who, although he died more than 50 years ago and never had visited this country, nevertheless has attached himself to Kitty as her general overall protector. He always calls her his Liebchen, and here he addresses us both by saying, "Hello, Liebchens." When I was a boy, our family doctor was named Schmidt. Here, after more years than I care to remember, He apparently returns to give his name, Schmidt. Here is an example of a brief dialogue. A voice comes on the tape saying, "Manville here." And then another voice replies, "You bet." Kitty and I have a friend who used to work with Walt Disney, and since Kitty is an admirer of his, it does not seem strange to us that we get a visit from him every now and then. Here is an example. A voice says, "Mary Poppins," and to my ear, it sounds very much like the voice of Walt Disney. Kitty had a brother-in-law who died in his mid-30s some 25 years ago. He was an inveterate gambler, and blackjack was his favorite game. Therefore, he used the expression "hit me" very often, and here he uses it again. A man named Harper, who is apparently one of the technicians on the other side, gives us a piece of advice. First, a voice says, "Hello, Billy," followed immediately by a voice which says, "Turn your lights up," and then the man's name, Harper. A voice with a feeling of great urgency gives us a message that proves to be evidential. The message is, "Help Marjorie to be healed." And a few days later, a friend of ours named Marjorie unexpectedly died. The voice of what sounds like an old man says proudly, "Look at me."
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
The last of these voices is certainly the most unusual. It appears at the very beginning of the second tape I ever made, and yet it was not there when I originally played it back. Some 6 months later, when I recataloged my tapes, I played this one again, and it still was not there. Over a year later, when I happened to play it once more, there it was. Most unusual of all, however, is the fact that this particular voice has never passed through the recording head. The voice is that of a woman speaking in German, and I have had it translated. She says, "Leben hier in Allen," meaning, "All of the dear ones are here."
Leben hier in Allen. Leben hier in Allen. Leben hier in Allen.
This, then, is the conclusion of the tape. The taping, however, continues. Since I first began these experiments back at the beginning of 1972, I have received on tape more than 20,000 different voices. This is a circumstance that has made it very difficult to assemble the cassette examples you have just heard, because there are voices continually showing up that are as good or better than some of the examples chosen. And the temptation is to continue substituting and switching until at last sanity takes over and it is decided to let well enough alone. Thank you.
And now I'd like to call upon Bill's wonderful wife, Kitty.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman, for your beautiful introduction and for asking me to be your guest here this morning. It is indeed an honor to stand before such an illustrious audience as you. I feel I am surrounded by an aura of love. Little did I realize last May, when Bill's book, Talks with the Dead, was published, that I would be representing Bill here as a speaker today. This, for me, is a bittersweet experience. All I can say after listening to Dr. Old's talk the other day is, this is indeed a new day. The voice phenomena which you have just heard is a fascinating study, one which led our friends, our family, and me to realize our separation from Bill is temporary. For the last 4 years, he has been a pioneer in this country with tape recordings of paranormal voices, or so we believe. Sitting alone or with groups of ranging from 2 to 40, I cannot remember a time when we haven't received at least 2 voices at each sitting. I want to assure you, you don't have to take my word for it. Anyone can have exciting results. All it takes is infinite, and I do mean infinite, patience, dedication, time, and an understanding and interested partner, plus, of course, faith and a tape recorder. I found that Bill has given faith to many who have called our home after they tried taping themselves. Many who rang our doorbell came as skeptics and left quietly awed by the experience, especially after spending a few hours while Bill patiently explained his theories of life and survival, which, by the way, coincided exactly with those of Dr. Alex Tanis. His statements had a tremendous emotional impact on me. It was reassuring to find that two fine minds working through different channels arrived at the same conclusions. Mr. Sherman asked me if I had any interest stories to share, human interest. One involved a physicist who called our home, and he said, He was a retired member of the space program, and that he had read Bill's book and started to tape, and he had a few voices. He thought he had a few voices, but he couldn't make them out. So we invited him to the house, and Bill said he'd be happy to listen. Well, he came with his tape in hand, and Bill played it back several times, 2 or 3. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I get. It's very unusual, but here it is. It said, I'm happy, see Monet. Our friend was visibly shaken, and when he calmed down, he said to Bill, I had an older brother, but I was a very young boy back in Germany, and he was insane, and all of a sudden he just sort of disappeared from the house. He said, I always wondered what happened to him, and he said, to hear his name spoken and know that he is happy is such an emotional experience that I just can't quite grasp it. And he said, also, my family was, many of them were killed in the German purge, and I was fortunate enough to escape. So he went home and called a few days later, and he said, I just want you to know, Bill, what you have done for me. Life had really lost its meaning for me, and truthfully, I have contemplated suicide from time to time. He said, but you have added a new dimension to my life, and I intend to continue taping. He has taped, and he calls me now and then and tells me that he has gotten some beautiful message of a very personal nature from those of his family who have gone on. After Bill passed on the other side, I was going through his notes and came across the final taping taken the day before he went in the hospital unexpectedly. How fitting that his first voice, recorded voice, said, hello, and his final message said, good night. After this, all's fine. I hope you will try to tape. The rewards are everlasting. And if you have any technical questions you want answered, several of Bill's friends are here in the audience and would be happy to answer them during the intermissions. I want to leave you with this thought, which is our philosophy. I have seen death too often to believe in death. It is not an ending, but a withdrawal. As one who finishes a long journey, stills the motor, turns off the lights, steps from his car, and walks up the path to the home that awaits him.
It is a particularly moving moment for me, because I'm standing here as a proxy for a most remarkable man whom I never met personally. He was originally announced on our brochure to speak on the subject of his book, Talks with the Dead, and to tell us of his pioneering research in the tape recording of some 27,000 spirit voices. I corresponded with Bill Welch and had phone conversations with him in his home in Encino, California, where he was engaged in writing for TV and pictures. He told me he was preparing a tape containing some of the most significant spirit voices for a presentation at the workshop. During the last phone contact I had with him, he mentioned almost casually that he had just come from the hospital where he had undergone an operation for cancer of the lymph glands. There was nothing in his voice or manner to indicate that Bill Welch was still in serious shape. You can well imagine my shock when a few weeks later I received a phone call from a man who introduced himself as Whitey Greenblatt, a research associate of Bill's, calling for the purpose of telling me Bill passed on 2 days ago, February 2nd. He was in a coma the last week. But I'd like you to know, Mr. Sherman, the one thing he had in his mind at the last was the hope that God would let him live long enough to appear on the workshop platform with you and make a final presentation of his work with the spirit voices. He said he had no fear of death, that communication with the spirit entities, especially some of his departed friends and loved ones, had prepared him for the life to come. And if he had to go soon, he was eager to join them and enter upon the new experience awaiting him. Bill also said, continued his associate, Whitey Greenblatt, that as soon as he got adjusted to life in the next dimension, he hoped to establish better and clearer communication between the two worlds. And if possible, put his voice on tape with a greeting to Harold Sherman and everyone attending the workshop. As Whitey Greenblatt was talking, the thought occurred to me that we could arrange a William Adams Welch memorial presentation of the spirit voice tape phenomena, which he had prepared as a tribute to him and his pioneering work in this new communication field. I proposed it to Whitey, asking him if he thought that Bill's wife would approve. Whitey instantly said, I think Bill would be greatly pleased to have something like this done, and that Kitty Welch would be honored. I'll ask her about it and report back to you. Consent was immediately given, and both Kitty Welch and Whitey Greenblatt accepted my invitation to come to the workshop and help in the memorial presentation. In a wonderful letter Kitty Welch wrote me, she said, I'll be delighted to be with you at the workshop. However, I can in no way shed the brilliance of Bill's experiments as he would. As you know, he had such an inquisitive mind, beautifully controlled, a truly exceptional man, who has loved me dearly since he was 16 years old. I was almost proud of his accomplishments and grateful for his devotion to me and those whose lives our paths crossed. I am a true believer in the voice phenomena. I am not a speaker. I always stayed in the background, but was always there with Bill. And I'll be glad to do everything I can for you in Bill's name. It is so good of you to want to promote the work Bill held so dear to his heart. And believe me, it meant more hours than I care to remember, of infinite patience on his part. Many hours out of our lives together. May God bless you and the work which is so important to mankind. It may interest you to know that Bill and I, says Kitty, will have been married for 42 years on June 25th, the opening day of your workshop. Well, Bill's wonderful wife, Kitty, is here with us today. And so is his research associate, Whitey Greenblatt. And you will meet them in a few minutes as a part of this memorial presentation. But first, I should explain to some of you who may not be so familiar just what the tape recording of Spirit Voices is. And I can't do it any better than to play for you a tape that Bill Welch made for the workshop, so you can hear him tell about it in his own voice. The next voice you hear will be that of Bill Welch.
What you are about to hear are voices recorded by me sitting either alone with my wife, Kitty, or with others over a period of a little more than 2 years, beginning in April of 1972. The voices are here repeated 3 times for clarity. It must be emphasized, of course, that they are not received this way. I am only repeating them 3 times to make it easier for the first-time listener to understand what he is hearing. The first voice is particularly appropriate for the beginning of this tape, since it says, "Hello." The next voice says welcome, which is not nearly as significant as the fact that a click is clearly audible before the voice is heard. This and similar sounds, such as raps and the blowing of a breath, frequently precede a voice, as though the speaker had been given a cue as to when to begin. Listen closely. Since the next voice says a sentence, it is better to listen first to see if you can understand its meaning. The voice said, "Let's play the game." Here it is again. The next voice is not a voice at all. Rather, it is an imitation of a passing steam locomotive. This was apparently done in a spirit of fun, but with meaning, since I had once built model engines as a hobby. Here's the imitation. exuberant voice directed at my wife, Kitty, says, "I love Kitty." The following raps were obtained during a sitting with a survival study group. During the sitting, there were intermittent dog barks from outside, and accordingly, the members of the group were all being careful to note any natural sounds that would later appear in the tape. No one heard these sounds until the tape was played back. This voice is clear, but partially obscured by what sounds like feedback squeal. It says, for no reason I can think of, "We're doing Roberts." Here are messages for our two daughters. The first says, "Wendy, tell her I love her." The second says, "Hello, Heather." A man identifies himself on tape as Schwepp, although we cannot identify him. You have to listen carefully under the background noise to hear this voice, but it's well worth it. A child says plaintively, "Touch me." A voice almost certainly belonging to one of the technicians who work on these tapes from the other side says, in response to a message we received, "How'd you like that one?" Here is another voice which belongs, we believe, to a technician on the other side. He is saying in exuberant tones, "Hip hooray, Harrington's here." A young lady gives her name as Marianne, but note there is also a cue before the voice. This time, it is a short breath. Attila von Zelle, who prefers to be called Art, visited me one night, and we did some taping. We got this voice calling his name. Art. great number of voices that I get have come in German, although I do not speak or understand the language. An outstanding example is this next voice, which says Weisserein, and it means, so I'm told, know that I am here. One of our regular correspondents from the other side is Harry. Harry is the father, deceased, of Pearl Brown, who sits with us once a week. Here, he merely registers his name. Although it seems a vast distance away, the next voice says, I'm near you. A voice I assume to be my wife's mother finds another way to say substantially the same thing. She says, I'm with you, Kitty. Over 40 years ago, there was a triple threat All-American football player for Army called Chris Red Cagle. We hear unexpectedly from him now. The first part of his statement is not clear, but his name, I think, is quite clear. He says, used to be Chris Cagle. I should mention that Chris Cagle died sometime around World War II. Nevertheless, we hear from him fairly regularly. Here is his voice saying the single word, Chris. My mother had a sister named Jessie, and my Aunt Jessie was married to a man named Chester. Both of them died many years ago. Nevertheless, we hear frequently from voices purporting to be Jessie and Chester. On this occasion, a voice started to speak and then broke up into static. This was followed by a voice which said, Jesse goofed that time. Chester. Here is a most encouraging message. It says, we are with you. You've won. We hear from a man named Gustav, who, although he died more than 50 years ago and never had visited this country, nevertheless has attached himself to Kitty as her general overall protector. He always calls her his liebchen, and here he addresses us both by saying, "Hello, liebchens." When I was a boy, our family doctor was named Schmidt. Here, after more years than I care to remember, he apparently returns to give his name, Schmidt. Here is an example of a brief dialogue. A voice comes on the tape saying, "Manville here." And then another voice replies, "You bet." Kitty and I have a friend who used to work with Walt Disney. And since Kitty is an admirer of his, it does not seem strange to us that we get a visit from him every now and then. Here is an example. A voice says, "Mary Poppins," and to my ear, it sounds very much like the voice of Walt Disney. Kitty had a brother-in-law who died in his mid-30s some 25 years ago. He was an inveterate gambler, and blackjack was his favorite game. Therefore, he used the expression "hit me" very often, and here he uses it again. A man named Harper, who is apparently one of the technicians on the other side, gives us a piece of advice. First, a voice says, "Hello, Billy," followed immediately by a voice which says, "Turn your lights up," and then the man's name, Harper. A voice with a feeling of great urgency gives us a message that proves to be evidential. The message is, "Help Marjorie to be healed." And a few days later, a friend of ours named Marjorie unexpectedly died. The voice of what sounds like an old man says proudly, "Look at me."
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
The last of these voices is certainly the most unusual. It appears at the very beginning of the second tape I ever made, and yet it was not there when I originally played it back. Some 6 months later, when I recataloged my tapes, I played this one again, and it still was not there. Over a year later, when I happened to play it once more, there it was. Most unusual of all, however, is the fact that this particular voice has never passed through the recording head. The voice is that of a woman speaking in German, and I have had it translated. She says, Leben hier in Allen, meaning, all of the dear ones are here.
Leben hier in Allen. Leben hier in Allen. Leben hier in Allen.
This, then, is the conclusion of the tape. The taping, however, continues. Since I first began these experiments back at the beginning of 1972, I have received on tape more than 20,000 different voices. This is a circumstance that has made it very difficult to assemble the cassette examples you have just heard, because there are voices continually showing up that are as good or better than some of the examples chosen, and the temptation is to continue substituting and switching until at last sanity takes over and it is decided to let well enough alone. Thank you.
And now I'd like to call upon Bill's wonderful wife, Kitty.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman, for your beautiful introduction and for asking me to be your guest here this morning. It is indeed an honor to stand before such an illustrious audience as you. I feel I am surrounded by an aura of love. Little did I realize last May, when Bill's book, Talks with the Dead, was published, that I would be representing Bill here as a speaker today. This, for me, is a bittersweet experience. All I can say, after listening to Dr. Old's talk the other day, is, this is indeed a new day. The voice phenomena which you have just heard is a fascinating study, one which led our friends, our family, and me to realize our separation from Bill is temporary. For the last 4 years, he has been a pioneer in this country with tape recordings of paranormal voices, or so we believe. Sitting alone or with groups of ranging from 2 to 40, I cannot remember a time when we haven't received at least 2 voices at each sitting. I want to assure you, you don't have to take my word for it. Anyone can have exciting results. All it takes is infinite, and I do mean infinite, patience, dedication, time, and an understanding and interested partner, plus, of course, faith and a tape recorder. I found that Bill has given faith to many who have called our home after they tried taping themselves. Many who rang our doorbell came as skeptics and left quietly awed by the experience, especially after spending a few hours while Bill patiently explained his theories of life and survival, which, by the way, coincided exactly with those of Dr. Alex Tanis. His statements had a tremendous emotional impact on me. It was reassuring to find that 2 fine minds working through different channels arrived at the same conclusions. Mr. Sherman asked me if I had any interest stories to share, human interest. One involved a physicist who called our home, and he said he was a retired member of the space program, and that he had read Bill's book and started to tape, and he had a few voices. He thought he had a few voices, but he couldn't make them out. So we invited him to the house, and Bill said he'd be happy to listen. Well, he came with his tape in hand, and Bill played it back several times, 2 or 3. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I get. It's very unusual, but here it is. It said, I'm happy, Simone. Our friend was visibly shaken, and when he calmed down, he said to Bill, I had an older brother, but I was a very young boy back in Germany, and he was insane, and all of a sudden he just sort of disappeared from the house. He said, I always wondered what happened to him, and he said, to hear his name spoken and know that he is happy is such an emotional experience that I just can't quite grasp it. And he said, also, my family was Many of them were killed in the German purge, and I was fortunate enough to escape. So he went home and called a few days later, and he said, I just want you to know, Bill, what you have done for me. Life had really lost its meaning for me, and truthfully, I have contemplated suicide from time to time. He said, but you have added a new dimension to my life, and I intend to continue taping. He has taped, and he calls me now and then and tells me that he has gotten some beautiful message of a very personal nature from those of his family who have gone on. After Bill passed on the other side, I was going through his notes and came across the final taping taken the day before he went in the hospital unexpectedly. How fitting that his first voice, recorded voice, said, hello, and his final message said, good night. After this, all's fine. I hope you will try to tape. The rewards are everlasting. And if you have any technical questions you want answered, several of Bill's friends are here in the audience and would be happy to answer them during the intermissions. I want to leave you with this thought, which is our philosophy. I have seen death too often to believe in death. It is not an ending, but a withdrawal. As one who finishes a long journey, stills the motor, turns off the lights, steps from his car, and walks up the path to the home that awaits him.